Good morning. I heard a few good mornings. We want to make sure you're aware that Children's Church this morning is just for the little ones. Our Children's Church director is not feeling so good today. So bigger kids, you get to join us. The look of horror on my kids' faces. I'm not sure which is more scary for Mickey right now, that he has to sit in service or that his teacher's sitting in front of him. So it's red cards. That's the bad one. Is that what it is?
Blue.
Okay. So, yeah. So, all right. First off, I that last song that we just sang there, Be Thou My Vision, you know, there's certain, how shall we say it, powers that a pastor has, and one of which is to request songs, it's one of my favorite songs, and it's really, I think it's going to set the pace for what we're doing this morning, is looking at the beginning of what God's vision is for Scio Baptist. And actually, before we get started, there's a few things I think I needed to throw out there. I think I know we don't normally do the birthday thing, but there's a sweet 16 in the room right now. Where's Michaela? So is she hiding? She's ducking there, you know, so we got, I know we have birthdays all the time, but, you know, sweet 16, that's pretty cool. And now, I was told that the queen was going to be here this morning, but I'm not seeing the queen, no, I don't see a queen. Okay, so if you're not aware, Mariah, she homecoming queen, that was pretty cool to see that if you were at the game, and she's not here. I told her to come wear the crown, and she, I don't know, so, but, Okay, well, there we go. So, so you're royalty too, just by default. All right. So, also the other thing I wanted to throw out there real quick here, just as a reminder, the end of the month, October 31st, we're going to be doing a baptism. And so, if you're interested in being baptized and you haven't talked to me yet, or you haven't talked to one of the shepherds yet, I would really encourage you to do that. Do that right away. Don't show up on the 31st in your swimsuit. I suppose that'd be fine, but we'd like to talk to you a little bit before that. And also, if you are here and you are getting baptized, meet with me right after the service, just real quick, because we want to show you what you're getting yourself into. So literally. And so there we go. There's that. Be Thou My Vision. This morning, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at what God is doing here at Scio. So I've got a little bit of an intro, but it's really not me. If you came to hear me this morning, first off, you came for the wrong reason. You come here to hear God. I'm only going to speak in a little bit. And we're going to actually give the opportunity for our shepherds to share with you this morning. In fact, while I pray, just to make the transition as smooth as possible, can I go ahead and have the shepherds go ahead and come on up and take a seat while I pray, if that's okay. So you can pray with your eyes open while you walk. So. Father, I do thank you so much for this morning, and Father, I thank you for this time, and Father, I thank you that Lord, that you are a God that Lord gives us visions and gives us dreams, and that Father, that Lord, I just pray that as a family here at Scio, that Lord, we would always be seeking out what it is that you would have us do, where it is you would have us go, and that Father, that in those times we would be obedient. Father, I thank you so much that Lord, that you would love us so much that you do present to us a plan for us, Lord. And Father, I'm excited this morning. I'm excited about what it is that you'll be sharing through these men this morning. And I pray, Lord, right now that it would be honoring and all glory would be to you. Pray that in your son's name. Amen. So this morning is Shepherd Sunday, and depending on which way you came in the sign, on the road there, it's either Super Shepherd Sunday or it's Shepherd Super Sunday. So I couldn't decide which way to go. So either way, I think we have a Super Sunday, and I think we have a super group of shepherds, and you're going to get a chance to hear from them this morning. And I hope if it hasn't gotten across to you yet, I'm excited about this morning. I'm excited. And I asked them to sit up here not to parade them before you, but if you're not aware of who the church leadership is, in particular these men, we want you to know. Now, I will say there are two that are not here. And I requested, and it's because of work, but out of those two, I requested pictures to be sent, and I got no pictures. And I thought about it. I thought I could just find some really embarrassing somethings, but you'll just need to make sure if you don't know Bill McCready or Tom Barth that you get connected with those guys. Maybe we'll make them do their own Sunday all by themselves. So, But anyways, I'm excited about what's happening here. Now, before coming on board here at SIO, I had heard about the changes that had happened in particular the past year, understanding a bit of the past, where the church had been, but more importantly, how it's changed and how it's changed the leadership within the church. And even testimony from you guys, I've heard many of you share with me, Mike, you don't understand how much these men have changed. I know that some of you have recognized this change, but some of you may, you're like thinking, what are you even, what's Mike talking about here? That's what this morning's about. This morning's about hearing from them, hearing from their heart of what's going on. And so it really is about the hearts and the attitudes of these men and how they're leading this church and how I'm excited to be a part of that, to be drawn into that, that God's blessed me that way. Now, when I first talked with Tom Barth, he was on the search committee, and so he was the actual first person I talked to from SIO in any kind of official capacity. And so as Tom shared with me some of the changes that were happening here at SIO, I got to say, there was just something about this guy and this voice that he was saying these things to me and this excitement. Like, I mean, either A, he really believed this, or B, he needs to be in used car sales because he was selling me something, all right? And what was happening, though, was I was going, okay, if this is real, Lord, and I've got to put my stock in it for right now, if this is real, Lord, please, let's keep going. I want to be there. I want to be there even more now than what I thought I wanted to be there before. Now I'm seeing something. God's presenting a vision is what's happening. And so what I got to do then next, eventually, after I met with the search committee and fell in love with all of them, I got to meet with these guys. And I'll tell you, it was the absolute most scary meeting on the face of the planet. I come in because I'm thinking, okay, I met with Tom, okay, and that's good. I met with the search committee. They all like me. That's good. And then they're like, oh, we need one more meeting. And it wasn't on the schedule. You know, and they're like, the leaders want to meet with you. Nobody ever wants to hear those words. The leaders want to meet with you. And so, okay, you know, so I go there and they threw some hardball questions at me, but the reality was that everything that I sensed in Tom was confirmed in these men at that meeting, you know. And I walked away going, Lord, I want to be a part of these guys. I want to be doing what it is that you're doing here at SIO with these guys and with this family. And you got to understand, most pastors coming into a situation are usually coming into kind of a brick wall of leadership, and that's not what's happening here. There is a solid foundation, but it's not like I'm going to. I think you get it. These guys, I don't want to boast too much about them because then it looks like we're boasting about them and not the glory of God. I'm saying God is doing something pretty incredible with these men, and God is able to do more here because of what they're surrendering to Him. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And so this morning we're going to see that. But I thought what I need to do, though, is I need to share a few things. Okay, so as I got to know them, one of the things that they told me, sharing with me, and again, I'm trying to be careful because I don't know specifically what they're going to share with you. So you guys, if I repeat anything that you're going to say it again. Okay, but They shared with me that before, when it came to church leadership, it was really just about keeping the church going. And in case, it's kind of the business side of things. And that's important. You got to keep the church going that way. But there was something else there was something that was missing. And so in this process, especially over this past year, they've learned that's something missing. It's the spiritual leadership of the church. And they're finding out that they were being called to do something else, something called to be called more to, and that being shepherds. And I've used that term, and I want to make sure everybody here understands, especially if you've been here for a long time, we're not saying we're not doing away with any other terminology that's used in leadership. We're not saying, you know, these guys aren't deacons. There's something more than just than deacons. That there's a greater calling to this term shepherd. And so I thought what we need to do is we need to understand just briefly what a shepherd is. So I'm going to give you a little bit here now. They're going to share, If there's time, I'll share some more. Okay, so first off, understand that a lot of times when we hear the word shepherd, we immediately associate that with the word pastor. So we think pastor, shepherd, and that's true, but it's not the only person who can serve as a shepherd. It's not just the guy who stands behind the pulpit every Sunday that can be shepherding. In fact, for what it's worth, let me throw this out there, just keep in the back of your head. While these men have answered the call to be shepherds of this church, that does not mean there isn't room for somebody out there to be a shepherd. Okay. In fact, right away, fathers, you're shepherds to your families. Okay. And so there's a lot of room for shepherding out there. And I hope this morning would be a challenge to you as to what it is God's calling you to be a shepherd of. And so just looking real quick at Ephesians, what we get here is we get the description, the spiritual gifts, okay, of just a few select titles here. And so it's talking about Jesus saying it was he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so the word that we have up there that says pastor, okay, if we go back to the Greek, and I think original languages is important. And so we go back to the Greek, and that word pastor, that's poimen. And that word there, this is the only time when we look in the New Testament where we have that word, that one Greek word translated as pastor. Everywhere else this word pops up, it is shepherd. Okay, so I want us to kind of get it out of our heads for a moment that only the pastor can be the shepherd, or that there's only one shepherd in a church. No, lots of shepherds, okay, because there's a very large flock. And so we have lots of shepherds. In fact, I don't know if you've ever taken a spiritual gifts assessment test. It's something I like doing them. They're kind of fun. Kind of take your, it's like a personality test, but it kind of lines you up with, well, this is the characteristics of who you are, and it kind of lines you up then with what the spiritual gifts might be. It's not a surefire, and it's not a pass-fail test. It's simply just a matter of, it kind of gives you this direction, and you read it and go, huh, yeah, that really is me. And so one of those spiritual gifts being shepherding, this is the description of somebody who would fall under this category. It says, though a good pastor must have the gift of shepherding, everyone who has the gift of shepherding is not called to be a pastor. The gift can be used in many positions in the church. Someone gifted as a shepherd has the Spirit-given capacity and desire to serve God by overseeing, training, caring for the needs of groups of Christians. They're usually very patient, people-centered, and willing to spend time in prayer with others. I think I just found a definition for what these guys are doing. And this is what's happening here. In fact, in verse 12, it says right there that these people are to what? To prepare God's people for works of service, in a sense of showing what it means to live as Christians. And that's what's going on here with these guys. And so with that, I want to just give you just a couple quick quotes here. This one is from Martin Luther, and he's referring to a preacher, but look at it, the big perspective here. A preacher must be both soldier and shepherd. He must nourish, defend, and teach. He must have teeth in his mouth and be able to bite and fight. And so when we look at a shepherd, it's more than just simply tending the flock also. It is protecting the flock. And I've watched these guys just in my short time here, how much they love you guys and how much they're willing to protect, to get in between you and the enemy. And we'll talk more about that after they're done. But this other one, this is a Russian proverb. Without a shepherd, sheep are not a flock. You know, and without these guys doing what they're doing, and take myself out of the equation right now, we're just a group of people just kind of here. You know, the shepherd is the one that brings that direction. The shepherd is the one that God uses to go after what it is that God has for them. And that's when we talk about vision. So right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to step back, and I'm going to let these guys share with you what's on their heart and what they've been going through.
Thanks, Guy. I don't have a beard. I'm older than he is. And I'm scared to death. We had prayer just before the service, and Pastor Mike prayed that the fear, the anxiety, and things will go away. I'm still waiting on God to answer that prayer. First of all, guys, could you come up with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 for me as we start in? How many people have been in this church since 56? One, two, three, four, five, six. Mother, raise your hand. Seven. 1956, that's when we started to come to Sile Baptist Church. When we came, we were quite small. I think I was in fifth grade. But even then, we found mentors here within this church that led, guide, and taught. Yeah, we had Mom and Dad at home, but we had Glenn and Gloria here, Thurston here in the church. We had B and Everett that was here in the church. We had Forrest and B.
Pardon?
Yeah, Mary Rice and Letha Pinch and so many others. How many here would know what I was saying if I said, soldiers, draw your swords? There's two. There's three. There's four. Letha Pinch used to tell us when we walked into Sunday school, soldiers, draw your sword and go to. And that's the way we learn to find the verses in our Bible. Then as I went through, one of the reasons we used to love to come to this church was because of the love of and the family atmosphere that we had here. What do we all think of when we think of family? Someone that we can go to when we're scared. Someone that we can go to when we need help. Someone that we can go to just to talk. Someone to guide us. That's family. As I look out here today, I see that's family. Guys, it's public speaking is not something that God gave me a gift for. He put a little frog that goes up and down in my throat every once in a while. There's a few others out here that know about that frog, and he visits them every once in a while. But as I was going through, and as we have gone through, then Pastor Mike asked us to kind of give a little bit of a talk about where we are and how we have changed. Just this last year, we were doing a Bible study, and we were doing it in Peter. And all of a sudden, I came up on this verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man who asketh you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What does that mean? It means if Pastor Mike comes up to you and says, Butch, will you give your testimony? I better be willing to do it. Even if you have the frog in your throat, you better be willing to do it. As we lost our last pastor, this church kind of was in a lost feel. And yet we had two gentlemen that stepped up and filled the pulpit for us. And that was fine. The Word of God was presented. But it put a special new job description, whatever you want to call it, on the rest of us. It said, you don't have someone that's out there 8 to 5 or 8 to 8 to take care of the people within the church. So guys, you're going to have to do it. And Eric put out a question one day. He says, guys, are you ready? And we sat back and said, maybe. But we had to get ready. And I thank you for that, Eric. I really do. It was a challenge that was put for us. And so we had to grow. We had to get into God's word. We had to take in any time someone that was out there needed help, we needed to go and see if we could do the job for them or help them do the job. It has moved me. It has helped me. I hope, and it is my prayer, that anyone out there, anyone within our body, ever needs help, they will not be scared to pick up the phone and say, Butch, come. I'll be there. And the reason I can do that is because I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other men that have made that same promise to me. If you need help, give me a call. I'll be there. Guys, I don't have a whole lot more to say other than thank you. Each one of you has really been a blessing to my life. Each one of you means something special to me. So I just want to thank God for you and pray that God will just take you and help you through. And with that,
I guess I'm next. By the way, that FROG, that's an acronym for Forever Reliant on God. That's why it's there. Geez, where do I start? You know, when I walked back into this church, we actually became members in the when the old building was here, and then we moved away for 10 years, and God took us up to Detroit and kind of worked me over up on a mountain up there and changed my life. And then circumstances changed, and we came back to SIO, and we came here into the new building, and I was pretty impressed. The other one was kind of cozy and kind of homey, but this was a pretty building. But you know, when I came in, most of the time you can kind of sense the presence of God in a place, and I'm sorry, but I just didn't sense the presence of God in our church. I don't know if he took a day off or what it was, but you know, one of my blessings, you know, for what we've been through in the last year, one of my blessings was there was an elderly lady that came in last week, and she was sitting in the front row, and I introduced myself and was talking to her, and she said, "You have a very lovely church." I said, "Well, thank you." She said, "I knew it when I walked through the doors. I could feel the presence of God in your church." I said, "Thank you." You know, that's what it's about. It's, you know, it's not about us. You know, we can come here on Sundays for a couple of hours, call ourselves Christians, and say, okay, we've done our part. I want to challenge everybody in this room to get more involved with what God's doing. God is doing something great here at SIO. You know, and he feeds us little bits and pieces of it, you know, every time we come together. And I wish everybody in this room could experience what goes on in our meeting room on Tuesday nights as we're on our knees praying to God for this congregation. You know, we're not sitting around the table giving each other ideas of what needs to be done or where we need to go, or, you know, we're crying out to God to guide and direct us. We need to be doing that 24/7. It's not a part-time job. You know, the first time I was asked to be on the deacon board. Pastor Bill came up after church and asked me, he says, would you like to be on the deacon board with me? I told him, I said, you know, I'll pray about it and get back with you. You know, and I felt God was leading me to be on the deacon board. So my very first meeting, I walked in, sat down next to Pastor Bill, and he handed us all an envelope. It was his resignation. I'm going, Lord, what's going on here? You know, I want to be part of what's going on here at SIO, but yet here you take the pastor out of the picture. You know, and he just put it on my heart then, you know, that, you know, there's something I need to do in SIO, and it doesn't include Bill Kahn. Bill Kahn is a very special person. He has a real heart for the Lord. You know, and there was nothing that he did in this congregation that caused him to leave or caused things to change. You know, it's about what God was doing and about what his people are doing in this congregation. It's all about you. You know, it's hard for me to take the position of a leader in a church. You know, I'm not your leader. You know, I am equal with everybody sitting out there, you know. God has called me to oversee what's going on in the church. But, you know, each and every one of you have just as much responsibility and authority as what I or any of these men here have. You know, we have a new pastor. And the last thing we want to do is burden him with all the jobs in the church. What we want to do is come alongside this man, his brothers in Christ, and to help him minister to this congregation. And I would hope that everybody out there would have the same burden in their heart, that they would love to come alongside him and say, what can I do to ease your burden? What can I do to take the load off your shoulders? You know, it's all about you. It's all about God's people. God stands in the midst of us today, and he's crying out. He's standing at your door and knocking. He wants you to open that door. You're not here by accident. You're here by design. God wants you here. And I just want to challenge everybody out there to get involved with what God's doing. Don't just take it for a couple of hours on Sunday and say, hey, I did my part. You know, get involved. Pray for your families. Pray for each individual in this congregation. God has put me in a position with the youth in your church, you know, and I'm amazed whenever Sunday comes around and all of those youth come flooding through that door. It's been averaging a little over 20 youth on Sunday. That's your youth in your community crying out, somebody help us. It takes more than one adult with 20 teenagers, trust me. See you at the poll. God is working in our community. When these youth stepped up to go over to our church, gather around that flagpole and pray for one another. And the prayers that came out that day touched my heart. Not because of what I'm doing, but because of what God's doing. God is doing something in SIO, Oregon. Get involved with it. Ask God, what can I do? I want to be part of what God's doing. I don't want to be part of what's on my agenda. I want to be involved with what God's doing. God is doing something great right here in SIO, Oregon. He's your God. Call upon him. So I just challenge everybody here. when you're on your knees, just ask God, God, what can I do for you? What do you want me to do here in Sci, Oregon? Is it to just go talk to my neighbor? Talk to my kids? But God's got something for everybody in this room to do. And I'm glad that he's put these men alongside of me to guide and direct me and keep me straight. We need each other. We cannot be out there by ourselves trying to wing it. We need each other. Iron sharpens iron. We love you guys. We care for you. We pray for you. Tuesday night rolls around at 6:30. Pray for us, because we're going to be up there praying for you. Pray for us. Thank you.
I started out pretty calm. I don't know if you noticed. I wasn't shaking my legs or nothing. But, you know, waiting to be the last, I got nervous and my legs started bouncing. You know, I want to just say a few things to you. Number one, we failed you folks as God's children here at this church. I've been involved in this church for probably close to 20 years. I was performing a duty position. Thought I did a pretty good job of it. Until the Lord got a hold of myself and all of us. It showed us that there's a different way that God wants us to shepherd God's children, his precious children. Each and every one of you are precious in his sight. And he gave us a position of leadership to watch over you, to be watchmen for you. And we weren't doing that. We were doing administration, taking care of business, but we were not shepherding this church out of his love for each and every one of you. And I think that's probably what is impressed upon me more so than anything is, and I'm going to share a little story. He said, Guy, you need to get real. I don't know if you know what real means, but I'm going to share with you what real is here in a little bit. But he said, you need to get real. You just can't be just a person that comes to church, takes on administrative duty, makes decisions, and walks away each and every Sunday thinking that I did my job, my duty. He wanted more from us. Tom kind of alluded to it. It wasn't about Pastor Bill. It was about the leaders of this church and what God wanted to do in his leaders, not in Bill Kahn or anybody else. He needed to do a work in us, and he started that work after Bill left. Took a while, takes a while, but he finally brought us to a point where we had to come together as men in unity, equally, none of us striving for any position or any agenda of our own, but to come together as equal, unified leadership. We went through some struggles looking for an interim pastor here at this church, and you all probably know a little bit about it, but we looked at one particular man. One man on the board was in disagreement with this person. One man. 2 years ago, we would have said, man, that don't count. That's not enough. But at this time, we had made a decision and a pact and understanding that no decision would be made unless it was a majority decision. So we prayed about it. Within a week or two, Pastor Young, who was with us for a while, came. We called him. It was instant. We knew it's God's choice, not man's choice. So we called Pastor Young, and what a blessing he was through this time. He helped us move considerably in our growth as leaders of this church. But I'm going to go back, and I don't want to take all the time up because I know Mike wants to say a few other things. So, one of the things that's really been impressed upon my heart, and I believe each and every one of us, is that we need to learn to love each other as he's loved us. I might have to be truthful. I didn't love you. not as Christ loves me. And he showed me how to love each and every one of you if I allow him to love through me. So I want to just share, when the church eldership is viewed as a status or a board position in the church, there will be plenty of volunteers. But when it is viewed as a demanding pastoral work, few will rush to volunteer. I would hope, and as Tom mentioned and Butch mentioned, I would hope that every man in here would desire to be a shepherd. God has gifted many of you to do so. The qualifications are steep. It's from God's word. But the rewards are outstanding. They're great. We need a desire to shepherd, to mentor young men in this church, to be shepherds of this church. So I pray that that will happen. But I want to read on. One reason there are so few shepherds or good church eldership is that, generally speaking, men are spiritually lazy. We were lazy spiritual men. We were not spiritual at all. We were administrative doers is what we were. And he showed us that we need to be spiritual men, caring for the spirituality of this church and the spiritual growth of this church. I'll read on. Spiritual laziness is an enormous problem in a Christian community. Spiritual laziness is a major reason why most churches never establish a biblical eldership. Men are more than willing to let someone else fulfill their spiritual responsibilities, whether it be their wives, the clergy, or the church professionals. Biblical eldership, however, cannot exist in an atmosphere of nominal Christianity. There can be no biblical eldership in a church where there is no biblical Christianity. If a biblical eldership is to function effectively, it requires men who are firmly committed to our Lord's principles of discipleship. Biblical eldership is dependent on men who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. Men who have presented themselves as living sacrifices to God and slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 12:1-2. Men who love Jesus Christ above all else and willingly sacrifice self for the sake of others. Men who love as Christ loved, men who are self-disciplined and self-sacrificing, and men who have taken up the cross and are willing to suffer for Christ. I believe the change in me, I can't speak for every man, but I see change in all of us. The change for me is I'm willing to seek God's kingdom in him first. I'm willing to step up and become real. You know, the guy Barth that you knew 2 years ago? Not the same person. Not the same person. I want to be real, and I want to be real to each and every one of you. I share with you about being real. I'm going to read a little bit here first. Where there is authentic community, we can love and be loved. Luke observed that they devoted themselves to the fellowship, Acts 2:42. The word Luke used for shelop is the Greek word koinonia. I'm sure you've heard of the word spoken many times, which expresses companionship, sharing, and being intimately connected with another person. It was an expression of enthusiastic love. People were taking the high road with each other, never assuming the worst or giving in to suspicion. True koinonia takes place when people are completely upheld, completely accepted, and completely supported. I pray that this church, and you've heard Pastor Mike preach about it a few weeks ago, that we can accept people as they are, that we will learn to love people as they are, that we will allow God to grow the seeds that are planted. That it's not our job to grow it. It's our job to drop the seed, to plant the seed. I think that's happening in this church. And I believe it's important that it does happen. The risk of being loved and loving, great risk accompanies this love, for it creates the opportunity for great pain and great hurt. C.S. Lewis wrote, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully, round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will not be unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all dangers of love is hell. It's the only place." So I want to tell you, I want to be real, and I say this with all sincerity. I want you to see me and these men, each and every one of us, truly, truly loving you as Christ has loved us. We want to be watchmen for you, over you, as God has instructed us to do. In the book of Isaiah, God scolds the watchmen for being, I believe it's called dead dogs or something like that. They were not watching over the people. But this is a story about being real. And you all heard of probably the classic children book, The Velveteen Rabbit. Well, I want to share with you about a little stuffed rabbit, all clean and new, who wanted to become real. During that process, the rabbit meets an old, worn-out, but very much loved stuffed horse. Their dialogue captures the importance of community giving itself over to love. The skinned horse had lived longer in the nursery than any others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath, and most of the hairs of his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger, and by break their main strings and pass away. For he knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful. And only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced like the skin horse understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and stick out handles?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked. "Or bit by bit?" "Doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily, or even have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off." I'm hoping that's the reason. Thanks. And your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. I hope that that we are real to you, that we are good watchmen, good servants of God. And it's not just us. Butch mentioned there's men in this church that were instrumental in bringing us to the place that we are today through God, not through them. This is not about us. This is not about Tom or Butch or Guy or Tom Barth or Bill McCready or Mark or Eric. This is not about us. This is about what God is doing in our lives and in this church. And I pray that you will continue to pray for each and every one of us as we grow. And I pray that men within this church will understand the importance of serving God and seeking His will first. Because without it, we are just men floundering around in a world that will eat us up, because Satan's ready there to devour us. Pray for us. Satan wishes each and every one of us to take a fall. He wants us down, because if he can break us down, then he can say to you, "See, I told you, they're not real." But we are real, but we need your prayers, and we need them constantly. Thank you.
So what I wanted to follow, how do you follow that up? I wanted to present a piece of the word to you this morning as a challenge. It's a challenge that these men have taken on. It's a challenge that you can take on, and I pray that you do. And so let's just jump in real fast here. This is 1 Peter 5, and this is talking to the mature people in the church. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And as these men have shared with you this morning, what I would challenge you is two parts. The first part is to pray for these men, and the second part is to keep these men accountable. This is a high task. It is a hard task. They need both of those things in their lives, and they need it from you. It's not often you think of the flock as being the flock is usually dependent on the shepherd, and in this case, the shepherd is dependent on the flock. And so I would challenge you with that. But the one key verse that comes out of this that I want to really take just a moment to look at here, and it's really what's on these guys' hearts, but it says right there, right in the middle, not because you must, but because you are willing. And I think that's what this is all about. It's about these guys at one point in time were doing it because they felt they must, but now they're doing it because they are willing. And I'd like to, you know, for you to be thinking about that, especially as we look on to these verses, because I believe that that's what these men are. Now, Peter talks about, at the end there, he talks about the chief shepherd. And of course, as a chief shepherd, that means that there is somebody that we must emulate. There's somebody that we're supposed to look at as the key example. And of course, we're talking about Jesus here. And so we're talking about the example that Jesus sets, and that example is one that is worthy to be followed. John brings up Jesus, talks about that in John. It says, I tell you the truth. This is coming out of John 10. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. And we're going to kind of skip ahead here in a second, but the idea is simple. The shepherd has one way of doing things, the right way. There's a lot of people who want to try to invade the shepherd's territory, if you will. They want to get in on the action, if you will. They want to look the parts and whatnot, and Jesus refers to them there as thieves and robbers, and keep that in mind as we move on here. Verse 11, and Jesus tells them, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so we get this picture of the good shepherd. He is one who lays his life down. If you've ever seen or if you know what a shepherd does, it's not a glamorous life. Nobody grows up and says, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to go sleep with a bunch of messy sheep. I want to get involved in their lives. I want to be away from my family because that family needs to be taken care of. It's not something that we generally say, yeah, that sounds good to me. And that's what the shepherd does. And this is what Jesus did. He comes out of heaven, where? To us, to live amongst us. And now he has placed that leadership in the hands of these men, and again, various men that are here in the church, to be shepherds, to shepherd this flock. But it talks about, you know, the hired hand. And sometimes there's people who they like the title, right? And Guy shared it, and they all shared it in their own way. There are people who like the title, but when the going gets tough, they're out of there. When there's a little bit of danger, they're out of there. They're the guys who quit the board as fast as they possibly can and run away from anything that might be some sort of liability. And that's not what God's calling us to do. God's calling us to be the shepherd, the one who stays, the one who's there. And Jesus gives us that warning. He says that there are those hired hands and there are those thieves and those robbers, those who would come in and try to destroy what's being built. And I believe that to be true right here, right now, in terms of what God is doing here right now. I guarantee you the enemy is looking at this going, uh-uh, I'm not going to have that. And God's saying, try it. Try to take these guys on, because I believe that these guys are in a place that something incredible happening. If we go back now real quickly to 1 Peter 5, this is to the young men. And so those of you who are not these guys, those of you who are perhaps young in the faith, take this into consideration. It says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And when we look at this, I bring this up because as good of a job as these guys are doing, as much of the changes that God is making in their lives, there's going to come a moment, there's going to come a time when their time of leadership, they're going to have to pass it on. I've shared this with them on Tuesday nights. I said, we have to be ready for this, okay? We can't just all of a sudden say one day, well, I guess I'm done. You know, I don't believe there's ever a chance to retire from ministry. I don't believe that's an option, okay? But there is a time where maybe perhaps you step back from particular leadership roles. And what I've shared with them is asking the simple question, in that moment, who will take your place? And when they do take that place, how will they know what to even do when they take your place? And this is where it begins. Young men who are not just age, we're talking about your maturity, where you are in your walk with Christ. Be watching these guys. Be watching the other men who have served in these roles here at the church. Be watching these men and asking the question, what is it that makes them different? What is their relationship with Christ so different? And I want to do that. I want to follow that. I want what it is that they have. And then in the same respect, the older guys, you need to take a hold of these younger guys and say, let me teach you. Let me show you. Because really, this is a challenge to not just the men. It is a challenge to all ministries here at Sio Baptist Church. So there's nobody off the hook this morning. We all, if you are in charge of a ministry somewhere, if you're part of a ministry somewhere, we all need to be mentoring somebody, okay? Because what we need to be doing is we really need to be working on replacing ourselves. That's what we should be doing. It's what we should be doing at all times, is looking at who will be the ones who step up, because nothing causes a ministry to collapse quicker than if only one person wants to run it, only one person wants to do it, and then when that person, for whatever reason, can't, it just falls apart. It's not the way God's designed it. It's not the way it is. We should all have, there should be shepherds and there should be under-shepherds, and if it's women's ministry, they should be bringing along younger women and they should be taking on these ideas and this, whatever the ministry is. The shoeboxes. And I'll talk more about this one next week. I am a huge, huge supporter of Operation Christmas Child. I love that ministry. But what happens one day when the person who's taken all the responsibility can't do it anymore? Who will step up? All ministries are this way. We need to be looking for that. And so Peter continues in what we're going to look at here. So he continues with a word that really can be taken by not just leaders or even future leaders, but us as a whole. So he continues, be self, this is for everybody here. Doesn't matter where you're at. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. We talked about suffering last week. And the God of all grace, who called to you this eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while there's going to be some inconveniences, will him restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Think back for a moment here. What does a shepherd do? I mean, he tends that flock. He protects that flock. He protects the flock from the wolves, right? And so the scripture often refers to the wolves. These are the false teachers, and they're the robbers and the thieves. They're the hired hands who come in for the glory and not for the, you know, for their own glory, not for God's glory. They're let's face it, you know, a lot of times, you know, you hear phrases like, you know, a good deer is a dead deer, right? You know, because that's because you went out and did your job, right, hunting? You know, I'll tell you right, a dead sheep's not a good sheep, okay? We need to keep the sheep alive. We need to keep sheep protected, and that's what we need to do. And so on one hand, we've got people that are out to destroy what God's doing. These are the wolves. But then here we see that there's also another enemy out there, and he's like a lion. And I don't know if you've ever seen an Animal Channel special, if you've ever seen what happens when you put a lion next to a lamb. It's not a pretty sight, okay? It's nothing that you look at and go, huh, let's do that again, unless you're just kind of weird. It's a horrendous sight. It's a slaughter. I've never seen a sheep beat a lamb, or a sheep beat a lion. Never seen that happen. I do believe that there will come a time when the sheep, the lamb, will lie down with the lion, different lion altogether. But here, Satan wants to tear it apart. He wants to tear these men apart. He wants to tear you apart. He wants to tear me apart. I don't want to go into detail. He tried to do it this morning already. I see him do it every day. And I'll tell you, on Tuesday nights when I pray with those men, I've been into a lot of prayer meetings, and prayer meetings are good, and I've been to a lot of leadership prayer things and all that kind of stuff. I love my Tuesday nights with those guys. I love hearing them pray because they're praying for you. And I want you to know that. So we all need to be on guard. And I believe that the Lord is doing something pretty incredible here. And he's given this church men willing to be shepherds. They're willing to lay down their lives. I believe that. They're willing to lead. They're willing to set the examples. They're willing to get out of their comfort zones. This morning is proof of that. And here's the deal. What it all comes down to, it's not because they're supernatural. They serve the supernatural. It's not because they somehow are more spiritual than you. It's because they're willing. That's it. Because they're willing. And God loves a willing person. And so as this church begins to stretch out into the community further and further, as we cast out a vision, if you will, and I understand that it's not just me saying, hey, let's go. It's these guys too. It's where we're going together. If I was to come to my guys and say, guys, I think the church really needs to do this and whatever this might be, and they were to say, no, I'm like, okay, God, I've asked you to use these men this way, and I can trust in that, and I can know that. But at the same time, if I come to the guys and say, this is what I think we need to do, and they say, yes, I know that God is saying go. And that's what's going on here. And so as God leads this church through its leaders in all the various ministries that are here, the challenge I have for you this morning as we close is simple. Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to follow these leaders into the direction that God has for them? Are you willing to follow? And then when the time comes, for some of you, will you be willing to lead? Because God's looking for who's going to be sitting up here next, and who's going to be behind the scenes next, and who's going to be doing the ministries next. Let's close in prayer. Father, I do thank you so much for this morning, Lord. I thank you for these men. I thank you for this family. I thank you for this church. And Father, I thank you that you are the great shepherd. You are the chief shepherd. You are the shepherd. And Father, we follow after you. We follow after your voice. We follow after what it is that you're calling us to. And Father, I do pray for the leadership within this church that, Father, as you have taken them and you have stretched them in ways that they can never, ever understand or imagine, that, Father, that you would continue to do that work. And Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for them. We thank you for their families who have sacrificed in this time. And Father, we thank you for a church, a family that is willing, Lord, willing to see what it is that you are doing. And Father, we do thank you so much for this time. We pray that in your son's name. Amen.